This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Because there's never an off day in the greatest sports city on earth.
Here are the biggest stories and everything else you need to know from the new title town.
It's Breaking Boston with Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy Stevens.
He does take off, and how about this hitting? Bounding ball through the open space and off into right field. They're going to wave him. The throw comes into second. Now on the way to the plate, and they steal a run. And this throw is into the outfield. Diaz taking off for third. They're going to wave him in, and he's going to score. And that looked like Little League.
I would like to know which Little League has a soul-crushing two-run scoring play that if you're keeping score at home, goes 9-6-2 to nowhere as the Red Sox give up two runs with Corey Kluber of all people on the mound. And we'll get to why that was even more important or more painful momentarily, losing the second game of three over the weekend. The fourth and final game played later this very afternoon, a rain delayed made up game at 4:10 on the Shaw's Star Market Red Sox network today. And I bet you can't wait to see them try to level the series off against the Rays, everybody. Good morning. We are Breaking Boston. It's Fitzy. It's Hart. It's you. And we're here today to talk Red Sox, which is something we'll be doing likely and often for the next several weeks because the Bruins and the Celtics pulled the equivalent of that particular play in question that you either just watched on the YouTubes, heard on the podcast, and thanks for listening and rating, reviewing, subscribing, and sharing wherever you happen to find Breaking Boston. Or maybe you watched it yesterday, and hopefully that was the last thing that you watched before you either turned the television off like a grown adult or possibly tried to go viral and threw the television out the window. Andy, that play, in a nutshell, is exactly this season. It's a bunch of guys really trying hard to do their job and do it well, but they're not that good at their job, and it's really not their fault. It is the fault of the management, the personnel executives, if you will. It's the fault of everyone who has made the decisions that led to that play, that have led to this being a 500 baseball team, that have led to them being the equivalent of an amusement park ride that may or may not have to be shut down by the town, the city, the state, because it's quite unsafe at this point. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. At times, it's fun. Sure, for today, for content purposes, we'll have a gas at the Sox expense, but this is not a good baseball team. It's not. And this all comes on the heels of Friday when we learned that two pitchers they decided to let go, Michael Wacha and Nathan Eovaldi, one sort of tender to contract offer, the other not at all, both won pitcher of the month in their respective divisions. And I mentioned Corey Kluber. He was on the mound. They decided to give him a one-year deal, as opposed to offering Michael Wacha a deal or extending Nathan Eovaldi. And Corey Kluber kind of sucks. And this is what you get.
You get what you pay for. I want to say that I advocated for discussing the opening weekend of the Premier Lacrosse League, but Fitzy vetoed it and said, nope, we got to talk Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And well, you get what you pay for if you talk Red Sox, because gone are the days, I think, where everybody's like, oh, it's a really likable ball club, or this is a team that's going to surprise people, or... And I know they're whatever, five games out of the wild card or four. Or I don't know if people really even care about that at this point. But you get like, are we surprised? Like they, first of all, if you want to start with the defensive thing,
sure,
they haven't been good for years defensively. No. They have these plays every year over the last couple of years. I feel like the middle of last season, we were watching these stupid plays and saying Red Sox playing little league defense. And I was talking about how no, even little league coaches would be offended by this and mad at this.
You and I are very fair-minded little league coaches. I would sit all of them. Dare I say, Andy, to cross sports momentarily over into our realm of football, the Red Sox defense has basically turned into the equivalent of the Patriots special teams. Like, everyone thinks it's good. It hasn't been good for a long time.
No, no. And, you know, this year, you know, Kike Hernandez is going to be the whipping boy to some degree. He's going to be the guy, but it's not his fault. He shouldn't be playing shortstop for the freaking Boston Red Sox when they let Xander Bogaerts go and Trevor Story, the replacement, is injured and, you know, your best prospect is still a year and a half away or whatever it is. But the reality is they've had defensive holes for years. First base a year ago, mm-hmm. right? Nobody can play first base. Go get a first baseman. You know, so this is who they've been. And unfortunately, we joked about it, but the Heim Bloom trash collection between doubleheaders over the weekend is, I don't know if it's art imitating life or however we want to describe. I just said that ish writes itself, basically, you know, caption this, mm-hmm. and there's plenty of opportunities for social media captions to be had from there. And now if you say that Heim Bloom is a trash GM, or Heim Bloom is a GM who simply collects garbage, or any of those things, you are factually accurate because you have video to back it up.
I mean, it's so nice, and you can see it right now if you're watching on YouTube. There's video. Our own Bradfoe at Bradfoe tweeted out over the weekend. Coop, you can just keep this on a loop for the rest of the damn podcast, as far as I'm concerned.
So
basically what happened, and this isn't the first time it happened. Like, there's footage years ago of Ben Cherington and Larry Lucchino doing the same on a weekend doubleheader necessitated by weather. Heim Bloom is out there working with all the Fenway Stadium employees, picking up garbage between the seats to help them get ready for the nighttime of the day-nighter, thanks to Mother Nature. Now, I think that's really nice. It's noble. The man is obviously well paid for his job, so actually putting in a little manual labor is not above board. However, given the way the team has looked, given the way the team has played, given everything and the frustrations and the feelings of the Fenway faithful, you know, if Bloom goes, yeah, guys, I think I'll, you know, give me a bag, I'll get out there and help. I may have got, someone in the front office might have been like, Heim, you know, the optics on this one may not be so great. Even Sam Kennedy, who appears every Thursday morning on the Greg Hill Show with the front office report. And I swear that man could somehow spin the Ohio chemical train explosion into a positive, would probably have a hard time on this one. Like, yeah, you know, isn't Heim great? Look at him out there. Just, you know, he's one of us. Like, what? He likes picking up trash. Like, this is literally, Andy, like you said, it writes 1,000 headlines. You know, part of, I want to say, like, hey, Bloom, you helped build this mess. Now you clean up after it. You called him a trash GM. No lies detected in that post.
And was the Theo Epstein gorilla suit not available? Because at least go in a costume so people don't know it's you. Have a gorilla picking up garbage in the grandstands instead of, you know, the general manager.
Poor guy.
But we laugh because, you know, that's the only opportunity here, because if you really take it too seriously, it's really going to frustrate you and infuriate you when you're already dealing with massive collapse by your basketball team, massive collapse by your hockey team. We're dealing with hope. You and I have discussed this. Hope, I think, is probably the word for the Patriots, although mm-hmm. that could come crashing down relatively quickly when the season begins. But my question all along has been, like, what do I, if I'm a Red Sox fan and I'm not crazy fanatical, mm-hmm. like I'm not expecting a miracle, this doesn't have to be what am I looking at that's positive? Like, what am I looking at and saying, I see what they're doing here that's going to pay off in 2 years? Who am I looking, you know, Verdugo. Okay, Verdugo's having a great year. Verdugo's taking a leap. Is he going to be paid? Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep Verdugo? Is he part of the long-term core? Now, I know Yoshi is part of the long-term core. Mm-hmm. You signed him to a big contract this offseason. Mayer down in the minor leagues is part of the future. Are the, some of these arms, I guess you're going to tell me? Certainly not your closer. We celebrated a 400-save closer who will be dead and buried career-wise by the time this team is good. Yep. Like, which aspects of this team should I be latching on to? Casas?
No.
Are we feeling great about him?
We are not feeling great about Casas. As a matter of,
what am I latching on to?
As a matter of fact, ever since his 515-foot ding-dong a few weeks ago, everyone's been calling for Bobby Longball, Bobby Ding-Dong, to come back up and have Dahlbeck take over. And remember all the fielding problems, and especially, most especially, the inability to hit anything other than a fastball. Like if you can get, you know, Billy Koch from 20 years ago to pitch, or Daniel Bard to pitch to Bobby Dalbec, he'll put on a show. Anyone has right. any movement whatsoever on a pitch, Bobby Dalbec's going to look like Bobby Dalbec again. I couldn't agree with you more that that is the question du jour, if you will. Like that's the problem with this team now. What am I supposed to get excited about? Not just now. If you want to get excited about something now, you know, go see the fancy new lights. Go on a Tuesday and maybe hope they go down 6-3 and somehow come back and win 8-7. And it'll be one of those impromptu, like, oh man, you missed a hell of a game at Fenway last night. Okay, great. That's not going to happen with any consistency whatsoever. Right here, we see the stats as aggregated by John Tomasi. Red Sox outs above average rankings by infield position. Tristan Casas, 35th out of 38. Emmanuel Valdez, 43rd out of 46 at second base. Shortstop Kike Hernandez, 38th out of 40. Rafael Devers at third base, 18th out of 41. So none of those are great.
Read the last line.
Oh, Xander.
Read the last line.
And good to know, Xander Bogaerts, incidentally, is first overall at shortstop. Cue the Bob Lobellers out there. Why can't we get guys like that? Andy, I don't know. Like everything to me is built in and around Marcelo Meyer, right? And, you know,
holy pressure on that poor kid.
No big deal, guy. Just be the savior of the entire franchise. Now, his drafting is what led to, in my estimation, the Red Sox management pulling a John Lester with their negotiations with Xander Bogaerts and allowing him to ultimately walk. Yet somehow, still curiously, they signed Trevor Story to play second short or short second or second stop, whatever the hell the plan was.
IL.
Yeah, oh, the IL. That's IL. Right. That's where he is. Honestly, the man has spent 2/3 of his time on the injured list since he was acquired. So
since he helped run Bogaerts out of town.
So that's worked out great for them. First bit Casas, no thanks. Second base, absolutely nothing. Mayer's a year away from coming up. If you force him up now, you risk damaging the most valuable property you have. He's the fifth highest rated prospect in baseball. Devers is, you know, hitting a lot of home runs this season, but there's no one around him that's doing that. Adam Duvall, if he comes back and returns to form from 2 months ago before he hurt his wrist, is he worth coming to the ballpark for? No. Yoshida?
And he's 172.
Yoshida, am I going to the ballpark to see him? I might say, oh, there's Yoshi, the guy that was so awesome from the World Baseball Classic. That conversation went that far. Verdugo, he's a very good baseball player. 300 average, 5 home runs, bunch of hits, RBI, and that's that. And there's no one else.
And he has a little pizzazz.
Yeah, he's got a little juice, but like
flair.
Yeah, like if all those elements are firing on the same night, you might catch a good ball game. You might catch a good ball game. Now, Chris Sale to the injured list last week. You were waiting for that to happen. It did happen. Now he's got an inflamed shoulder, left after 38 pitches, 2 2/3 innings, major velocity drop. Who knows how long he'll be on there? Anyone who thought that you were going to get half a season, let alone a full season out of Chris Sale, stop it. James Paxton, nope. Would you go to the ballpark? Would you go out of your way and drop medium to top dollar to see Brian Baio pitch?
Nope.
Yeah. Who else?
No, and that's the
Tanner
problem.
Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock. No, these guys are even all out of position on top of it all. And you let the two damn starters go.
I hate to be overly negative and piling on, and we sort of our first real dive into the Red Sox, but the other aspect I have here is if this were year one of Heim Bloom, I'd be totally understandable to it. Okay, you're resetting the roster, you're cleaning house, mm-hmm. you're doing it. It isn't.
Nope.
You're well into your plan here. Plan. So I have trouble seeing the short-term picture mm-hmm. when you have Kike Hernandez at shortstop. Short-term seat. And then the long-term picture, also not very clear, other than one prospect who better be the combination of Ken Griffey Jr. and Derek Jeter. Mm-hmm. Because if he isn't, mm-hmm. he's not possibly going to live up to everything that's seemingly being put on his prospect shoulders at this point, because he is the savior. He is the foundation. And I really don't think that's fair to him. This is supposed to be the Boston Red Sox, where you should have a few guys. Remember back in the good old days where you had you got to go way back okay. here. So give me a second, where you had, oh, I don't know, Devers, Bogaerts, and Betts to sort of build around. And it's like, hey, that's three guys. So if we add Duvall-like players or a second-tier prospect here. Wow, we're really kind of filling out half a lineup. Now you have one guy to build around, and he has never stepped foot on a major league field like that. And it also annoys me that they kind of lucked into him.
It's they not did like entirely. I'm telling you, by lucking into him, they took a shortstop when they already had one in place that they could have signed. That obviously another team felt was worthy of signing for a full decade, actually a decade plus one. And the Red Sox didn't. And so that kind of threw everything with these value ridden Red Sox. This threw everything for a loop. And the kid may be a bona fide stud, a certified G, and an absolute Hall of Famer in waiting. But that, like you said, it's way too much pressure to put on any one human being to try to turn a franchise around. And I think actually,
especially in baseball.
Yeah, especially in baseball.
This isn't the NBA where if you get one guy, it can be
transformational.
Yeah,
Wembanyama might be able to put up 25, 10, right. 10 and 8 a night and be a smoother, taller, leaner version of Jokic and like save the Spurs or restart their franchise with yet another big man for the third time in the last 20, 30 years. But like one guy can't fix an entire baseball club's ails.
No, two can't. I mean, we talk about it so often, but the Angels are a team built around arguably the two best players, maybe not of just the generation, maybe two of the greatest players that have ever stepped on a baseball
field.
And that's not exaggeration. Like that's where they land talent wise. And they're a mediocre baseball team that doesn't go to the playoffs, that doesn't do anything. So baseball is different. And I go back to...
Same record as the Red Sox right now. Yeah, they're...
Right. Yeah. I feel like we were sold a bill of goods. It was like, well, you got to let this guy go. You got to let Betts go because you got to reset your finances. Oh, you screwed this up. And if you signed him, it would actually cost four times as much with tax dollars and all revenue sharing, all these things. Okay, so you did that. Maybe if I even wanted to buy that, you sell me on that. When do we come out the other side of this? When do we go back to being the Boston Red Sox? And instead of mocking teams like the Padres or the Mets in particular with, hey, every team has a salary cap except the Mets, apparently. When do you go back to being a team that just says, you know what? We have great finances. We have a ballpark that draws tourists. We have a ballpark that draws people no matter what. We have finances coming in at all times. When do you start to see, I don't know, this is a weird thing, weird idea here, multi-year contracts, signing guys to like 4 and 5 year deals. Oh, God forbid, 7, 8, 9 year deals, but long-term deals to build a core roster of star players that can then be complemented and supplemented by bargain signings, prospects that come up. Oh, an athletic guy that plays out of position, but we're good. Like, I really struggle to see any sort of plan that if you're a Red Sox fan and you want to be optimistic, you can, where you can place your optimism, why you could say, yep, that trash GM, the guy who collects garbage between doubleheader games, I see what he's doing. I like where he's going with this.
It honestly, like, we kind of buried the lead. That is truly the question when it comes to the Red Sox. What is the plan? As far as a shortstop trying to save a team or be the savior of a team goes, Nomar alone couldn't save the Red Sox. Remember when the Texas Rangers gave up crazy free agency money and signed Alex Rodriguez? I think he won back-to-back MVPs. They had a losing record both seasons before the New York Yankees ultimately acquired him. It's too much pressure to put on any one player. That is the question. What is it that I have to look forward here? And not to cross sports one more time, but we're now entering the fourth year post-Tom Brady with the New England Patriots. If they go out there this year, and they go 9-8 and they play their ass off and they play good defense and the offense doesn't even just struggle. Everything looks competent and professional, sort of like harkening back to the good old days, but not quite as effective. People in town will be frustrated, but they won't be mad. They won't want to mock the team the same way. But that'll be the fourth year post Brady and people will ask the same question, Andy. What's the plan? This is Heim Bloom's fourth year calling the shots as the president of baseball operations. And the team looks to be as far away from contending, from turning the ship around, and from becoming whatever this grand vision of an economically sound but ultimately competitive 1-25 efficient baseball team could possibly be. It's just, geez, I thought we were going to have fun talking about them. And at this point now, I think I'm kind of depressed.
Well, you should be. I mean, they're a last place baseball team with limited star power and draw and likability. Actually, they have likability, but not in a contending kind of way. Like, I think you can talk yourselves into liking some of the players on the roster for who they are. But the reality, and I keep going back to all these, like, oh, they're in the AL East. It's a tough division. But yeah, that's where you play. It's where you've always played. It's where you've always competed. And especially now when you look at the standings. So they're the only team in the division with a losing streak, lost two in a row. Only team in the division that's sub 500 in their last 10 games. Only team in the division that's given up more than 262 runs, and they've done that by 30-plus runs. Only team in the division that has a losing record on the road. So I'm sorry, you just don't measure up to your competition in the division, and that's where you have to measure up. Like, it's not like Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla got thrown into a job a couple days before the job started. It's not like Heim Bloom's team got picked up and they like, we forgot to tell you, we realigned over the winter. You're now in the American League East. No, no, no. He took the job as a guy from the American League East to join another team in the American League East to build a team to win. Where? In the American League East that isn't winning in the American League East.
It seems only appropriate that is the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that he was one of the architects of, or maybe not so much.
Was he?
I know. See, that's the thing. Was he really? Was he? Does he get a little too much credit for that? That may be the case. That comes to town. And though the Red Sox did win one of two on Saturday, they've lost two of the first three. Game four of the four-game weekend series against the Rays. Today, 4:10 p.m. from friendly-ish Fenway, more friendly to other teams recently than the Red Sox themselves. Thanks for tuning in to Breaking Boston. We'll be back tomorrow with whatever is the story of the day, whatever it is that feeds your ravenous Boston sports fandom, a hot cup of sports talk, 20 minutes or so to start each and every day here with at FitzyGFY and at Jumbo Heart. Thank you very much. Good job, producer Cooper Leonard. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share if you get a chance. We enjoy helping you set the table for the day when it comes to your passion for Boston sports. For Coop, for Fitzy, for Hart, this is Breaking Boston. Whoa, Sox. We'll talk to you tomorrow.